Welcome to Reality Check, the podcast series from SearchUnifiedCommunications.com. This is Elaine Hom, Associate Editor. Every month, we meet with an expert to get a reality check on anything Unified Communications. This month, we're being joined by Tony Bradley, Director of Security at Evangelize Communications and one of our UC experts, to answer the question, can you have UC without VoIP or PBX? Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the first question I have for you is about UC itself. You know, it's a hot topic that seems to hold the promise of streamlining business communications and cutting costs, but many organizations are still struggling to understand exactly what unified communications is. How would you describe UC?
Well, it is a question or an issue that, you know, comes up frequently because there are a lot of different things, and even from vendor to vendor, you know, they all sort of have a proprietary spin on, you know, what they want to portray unified communications as. So at its core, I mean, it's just unifying your various forms of communication. So you're trying to more or less converge email and instant messaging and, you know, voice and, you know, all of these things so that you're able to use them in an integrated way, use them more efficiently. But there isn't a hard and fast definition of you have to have, you know, X, Y, and Z components, or, you know, there isn't a straight answer to what unified communications technologies have to be involved in order for it to be called unified communications. I think the one thing that makes unified communications slightly different than just saying, oh, well, I have email and instant messaging and voice, I have all of these things, above and beyond the integration is presence, which is, you know, the ability for me to see whether you're on the phone and see whether you're available or see, you know, and that helps me to operate more efficiently because I can identify whether or not you're even available and then identify the, you know, best or most efficient way to communicate with you as well.
So it seems like there's no hard definition of what components actually make up UC. Voice or telephone communications are some of the primary communication methods for most organizations, though. Would you say that voice over IP is a required component of UC?
No. I mean, I would not say that it's required. I think that it is arguably one of the most common, you know, in approaching unified communications. Most organizations, I'm going to go out on a limb and say every organization has a voice communications or, you know, telephony network of some sort, you know, whether it's analog, VoIP, whatever. So oftentimes when organizations then are looking at, okay, well, you know, we think we want to explore unified communications, how are we going to do this? Voice is often the first thing they're looking at and saying, okay, well, we already have this, so how do we use it? And if you're dealing with Cisco, Nortel, Avaya, who are primarily in the, you know, networking and IP telephony hardware market, they approach it from that angle to begin with. I mean, that's what they sell. So there's that. But no, voice does not have to be a component, or at least not initially. You can approach UC without voice.
Interesting. If VoIP is not necessarily a UC requirement, should organizations make the investment in an IPBBX?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a subjective thing. It's going to be dependent on the organization and dependent on their business processes and, you know, what they want to accomplish with unified communications. But the bottom line is not necessarily. I mean, especially if an organization, for instance, has email and, you know, maybe they're adding in instant messaging capabilities and they're approaching unified communications from the other side, you know, without voice, it may not be necessary to have the IPPBX, especially because, you know, I said Cisco, Avaya, Nortel, and those kind of companies, they're approaching the problem from the phone hardware side and the networking hardware side because that's the business they're in. Conversely, Microsoft and IBM, who are in the desktop application side of things, they're approaching it from that perspective. And so depending on which vendor a company goes with and what their needs are, it's entirely possible to, you know, approach unified communications and voice communications without a PBX.
Speaking of Microsoft, they seem to be moving towards replacing or eliminating the PBX. Does the recent release of Office Communications Server 2007 R2 make the PBX obsolete?
I would say not yet. And again, that's going to depend on the organization and their needs. But it certainly is a goal of Microsoft. I think with the Wave 14 release, you know, the next major release of Office Communication Server will have, you know, even more of that functionality. But, you know, Office Communication Server 2007 R2, which, again, they, you know, they just released it, like, you know, last week, or, you know, beginning of February, it does have, you know, functionality that can help you eliminate the PBX if you choose, because it now has the ability for direct SIP trunking, so I can go straight from my VoIP provider into the OCS server without needing that PBX in the middle. Now, you know, Microsoft themselves, they've only got a couple vendors who are certified for this, but Evangelize Communications, you know, my company, we have a product we just developed called SmartSIP, which will allow people who are deploying Office Communication Server 2007 R2 to bridge that to any VoIP provider, not just the two that Microsoft has designated. So bottom line, an organization who's looking at Office Communication Server 2007 R2 may very likely not need to, not need a PBX. Certainly if they don't already have one, they should take a long, hard look at what the functionalities in OCS 2007 R2 are and what they really need to make sure that if they're going to invest in a PBX, that that's really necessary.
So what are some basic things that organizations should consider in deciding how to pursue unified communications?
Well, again, I think a lot of times, you know, organizations might, you know, look at something like this and they want to just dip their toe in, or, you know, maybe they want to, you know, try things out. And one of the nice things about unified communications is it's modular in nature. I mean, you can do a phased installation because, you know, like I said, an organization already has voice. They've already got email. A lot of times they've already got instant messaging. And so the organization can then take a look at, well, ultimately, what do they want from unified communications? And in the shorter term, what's going to yield the best, the biggest results or the biggest impact? You know, which component would you start with that's going to, you know, make business more efficient, make productivity increase, and help the bottom line? Because, you know, ultimately, you're not just doing unified communications because of the cool technology. You want to save money and operate more efficiently. And unified communications enables businesses to basically have their business processes and their business goals in mind and design their communications to meet those goals, instead of traditionally it's worked the other way around. You have to design your business processes to function within the limitations of what your communications network can provide. So unified communications lets you flip-flop that. So the basic things that the organization needs to consider is just taking a look at what's their ultimate goal and then stepping back from there and deciding what order to deploy these, you know, the modular components of UCN. And doing it in a phased approach, I mean, it is possible to, you know, do it all at once. I actually recommend that you do it in a phased approach, you know, one step at a time, because if you deploy everything all at once and something goes wrong, it's much more difficult to troubleshoot that and try and identify, well, which one of these components caused the problem. So I think if you kind of do it in steps and say, okay, well, now we're going to, you know, we're going to integrate our voice, you know, with our email. Okay, now next step, we're going to put the instant messaging in, you know, next step, you know, and doing it one thing at a time.
And that's about all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Thank you very much.
Be sure to check out Tony's Ask the Expert questions and answers on our site. For more information on unified communications, check out searchunifiedcommunications.com. This has been Elaine Hom, and thanks for tuning in.